Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is recorded in Paul's letter to the Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. This is our text. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the early 18th century, during that intoxicating time when the Enlightenment era was discovering human reason, its power, they decided that the empirical world, the one that could be studied, was the one that should in fact be studied. And that era, that geist of the era, was captured in that well-known line by Alexander Pope. Know thyself, presume not God to scan, the proper study of mankind is man. Know thyself. That line was emblazoned in the front of the Delphic Oracle in the 8th century BC. It's attributed also to Socrates. It was really one of the central questions, the central caveats, if you will, of philosophy. It is, in fact, at the heart of the Scriptures. Know thyself. But can man know himself? Can women know themselves? Can we know ourselves, really? David in Psalm 19 confesses how much he does not know himself when he penitently asks, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults." And another psalmist in the 94th Psalm put it in a very candid way when he said, "The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile." Peter boldly claimed that he would never deny Jesus. If everybody else went and fled, he would not. And then there was that night where before the cock had crowed twice, he had denied Christ three times. One of the most powerful lines in John's gospel comes when it is said of Jesus that he had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. But does man know what is within man? Do men and women really know what they are made of? Do even Christians who have been redeemed? Paul, great apostle of the faith, said at one point, "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." And that is just a few verses before the text that we have here today. But a few verses after that joyful expression, that's an Easter expression, "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Just a little while after that, he says, "I am carnal, sold under sin, for what I will to do that I do not practice," familiar lines to all of us, "but what I hate that I do, for the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice." Know thyself. Paul's admitting he didn't even know the way his sinful nature worked. Paul is not a pagan. He's an apostle of the resurrection. But he, like us, know our conflicted natures. He was justified by the redeeming work of Jesus Christ just as we have been. His blood was shed upon the cross, Jesus was. He rose again on that third day. We're celebrating it right now. But that did not guarantee Paul, nor does it guarantee us, that life will be free from struggle. We are sinners. With an old Adam tempted daily by enemies, tempted by uncertainties within. And we have serious weaknesses, as Paul admits in our text here today. And wise are we if we own up to that ignorance, to acknowledge, in knowing ourselves, we admit that we do not know ourselves fully. Though Jesus taught the disciples to pray the Lord's Prayer, remember they asked him, he taught them. Paul writes, we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. He says that here. Not only do we need a God who redeems us in our justification, we need a God to redeem us in our sanctification with our prayers and to teach us how to pray. This is Rogate Wednesday, and yesterday was Rogate Tuesday, and Monday was Rogate Monday, named after Rogate Sunday, from the Latin term which means to ask, based upon John 16, the appointed gospel for that Sunday, where Jesus says, ask and ye shall receive. All of the texts this week are about asking, they're about prayer. But today's text reminds us that even as saints, we still struggle with our flesh, and we lack an understanding of how we should pray. You know, we can get master's degrees and bachelor's degrees and PhDs, but that doesn't really mean that we know a lot about ourselves necessarily. We have a lack of understanding of our fallen nature and all its weaknesses and its ignorance. And we need God, the Holy Spirit, to help us even in our asking. Even our faith and prayer life is dependent upon God. Even praying the Lord's Prayer. Today's text reminds us God's Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. And if ever in our life we have those times of sorrow, and they will come, and loneliness, final exams, things piling up, we're asking ourselves, what in the world can we do to get these things done? I'm graduating. What am I going to do in the job market? We have a God who cares for us. God's Spirit knows us if we don't know ourselves. God's Spirit knows us if we do not know ourselves. And our text tells us he himself makes intercession for us and for the saints with groanings which cannot be uttered. We may not fully know ourselves, but God knows us. He who searches the heart knows, our text tells us. And he sanctifies even our inarticulate feelings. Sometimes we can't even put it into words. We just feel down. We feel lonely. And God is right there for us to take those feelings and to change them into a prayer that is pleasing to God. And that's exactly what the text tells us, that those prayers are aligned with the will of God. It's fascinating. John, in his first epistle, calls Jesus Christ our advocate. He is our paraclete. That's the very same term that Jesus says in his high priestly prayer when he says that he would send another paraclete, a comforter, a defender, a counselor, like me. And so the scripture tells us that we have two counselors. Jesus is our advocate on the right hand of the Father, even this moment, engaging in intercessory prayer on our behalf. He died for us. He brings to the Father's throne the remembrance of what he did for us. And the Holy Spirit is with us as a paraclete, as another intercessor, bringing the prayers that we are even ineptly incapable of bringing before God, bringing them to the very throne of grace. That's the kind of God we have, a comforter. And I might add that the triune God is, in fact, a paraclete God. Because if you think about it, When you look at the loving face of the Trinity, 12 verses before this text here, Paul writes that we have received the spirit of sonship by which we cry, Abba, Father. We were not natural children like Jesus was, born of the Father. We are adopted. Any father who goes or mother who adopts is reaching out. And it was God the Father who reached out on our behalf. He was a paraclete in every sense of the word. And so together, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have worked out our salvation and continue to work out our salvation. While the Holy Spirit and Son intercede on our behalf before the Father, Jesus continually stands reminding the Father of the initiative that he took in going to the cross. So pray with knowledge and pray with intelligence, but remember that when you are feeling in deep sorrow and in despair and loneliness and pain and loss, even then, God's Spirit is your advocate, bringing even your unspoken prayers before the throne of God's grace, reminding him that we are his redeemed children, we who were adopted because of Christ's body and blood shed upon the cross and declared justified by his glorious resurrection. Amen.